Produced by women, about women, Powerful Women Let's Talk is a series of interviews with women who have helped shape our community and transform who we are and how we live.
Well, hello, everyone. Good to be back with you on another edition of Powerful Women Let's Talk. I'm Jennifer Moss, and I'm excited today to introduce today's guest. And we go way back to our days on the Grand Valley State University Women's Center Advisory Board. My pleasure to introduce to you today and welcome Connie Dang. Hi, Connie.
Hello, Jennifer.
Well, you know, of course, we have a lot to get to on this day. But, you know, as you, my friend, have been very busy over the years, kind of hard to keep up. And so a couple of things. I want to mention that you've recently been appointed by Governor Whitmer to the Michigan Coronavirus Task Force on Racial Disparities. Plus, you also had an 8-year term on the Michigan Asian Pacific American Affairs Commission. All of this while still holding down your position at GVSU right now as the Director of the Office of Multicultural Affairs and Special Assistant for Inclusive Community Outreach. So again, you've been very busy, and we so appreciate you taking out time to talk with us. And so I want to start with your career here at Grand Valley State University, as I think that part of the journey is going to lead us into the direction of touching upon some of the other aspects of your life. I'm not sure at what stage of your career in higher education you were in when I first met you. I think it's at least 10, 12 years ago.
Yes.
So we met then. So tell me how you advanced along the way here.
Yes, so education has certainly been one of the values in my family, and you know, my parents always instilled in us the importance of education. So all of my life, fresh out of college, I started working for GVSU and have been here since then. I love it here. I love the institution. I love the people. So almost 25 years later, I'm still here with GVSU and loving it.
So fast forward to today, and you are now in several positions of leadership. And as we talk about powerful women, what leadership traits have helped you, and what perhaps have you picked up along the way that perhaps you've learned from others when you look at leadership?
Yes, such an important question. I would say be kind, have compassion, and be authentic, have empathy. Most leaders, we are in the leadership position because we have the knowledge, the skills, and the experience that is required by the position. So what I'm trying to every day and constantly trying to cultivate for myself is the ability to have empathy and compassion for those that I work with, especially in these challenging times, right? We have been working from home for the last 4 months. And for the parents who have children at home, not only do they have to maintain and keep up with the responsibilities associated with their position, they also have to provide care for their children, cooking for their children, and also homeschooling. So when you think about it, they are actually performing 3 full-time jobs.
Absolutely.
At the time, right? Working as a professional, care provider, and also teachers. So to lead as an empathetic leader, I think we need to understand and to recognize the changing situation that we all go through, and also to see your staff holistically, meaning that to understand that everybody outside of work, we have our personal life, and we constantly trying to find that balance between work, home, and family. Yes.
But again, too, that important aspect, I think, of leadership, as you mentioned, is to be kind. And especially with what all is going on today, mm-hmm. having that empathy for people who are multitasking.
Absolutely.
On the highest level, they probably have had to multitask at this
yes.
point.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me about the work that on the state's coronavirus task force on racial disparities. Again, that's a position of leadership as well, as you study and look at what needs to be done as you fulfill that position to reduce those disparities for people of color. Tell me about the work there. What are you doing?
Yeah, so with this pandemic, what it has done is COVID has shed lights on the racial inequities that impacted these communities of color, specifically African Americans and Latinx. When we look at the population in Michigan, African Americans consist of 14% of the state population, but 40% of African Americans have been impacted by the cases as well as deaths. So one of the charges for the task force is to study and to look at the underlying reasons for these disparities and to come up with recommendations to close the gap. So I just want to share, in the interest of time, the framework that we use to make our recommendations. So we use an inclusive and equity framework in terms of testing, tracing, and also isolation. So when we think about testing, what we have done is expanded testing to communities of color, recognizing that accessibility is important. So we bring testing into the community by providing mobile testing sites, so it's easily accessible for people who don't have transportation or even don't have or don't know how to drive, right? And in terms of tracing, we are very timely. Once we know that the person has been infected, we make sure that we contact the person, the patient, within 24 hours. And also let them know that it is important to isolate and to quarantine. A lot of patients that we work with live in crowded household. So in terms of quarantine, the state has provided facilities for these patients to, if they choose, to self-quarantine by themselves so that we can reduce the chance of them infecting other family members. Yes.
So important work there. And how does that feel to be appointed by the governor to that position? That's quite an honor.
It is quite an honor to be appointed by the governor. And I'm going to do my best within my ability to connect with different communities in West Michigan, as well as, the east side of the state. But do the best I can.
Clearly, you're an advocate for inclusion. All that you're doing has a lot to do with that. You're the director, again, of Multicultural Affairs at GVSU, and you've served and are serving on those two other commissions that you mentioned, and you have done that in the past as well as serving on the current one. And you've worked hard to get these positions because you actually started your life here as a war refugee. And so tell us about your early life story before all of these other accomplishments have come to pass. Tell me about the beginnings here.
Yes, so thank you for that question. My family immigrated to West Michigan in the late 1970s as Vietnamese refugees. And I have to say that a lot of my accomplishments, I credit that to my parents. I do look up to them as my incredible role models, their perseverance, resilience, and as well as their ability to be humble and very graceful about accepting and receiving assistance as well as support from the community when we first came to West Michigan.
How old were you when you first came here?
I was about 13 years old when I came here. I didn't speak any English. So in my country, French is second language. So when I came here, I really didn't speak any English. And I was enrolled in ninth grade and, just learning along the way and overcoming a lot of barriers and challenges. Yes.
Funny you should say that. When you talk about the barriers, so I'm looking as you look at your humble beginnings and, a couple questions come to mind. Have you been able to find like your own voice and to own that and to be comfortable in your own skin as you have grown up through the years here?
Yeah. So finding my own voice for me is asking a lot of questions. Who am I? What am I passionate about? What do I believe in? And then develop the courage to speak out and speak up and to speak the truth about my values and the things that are important to me. Finding my own voice is also about knowing when to be silent so that I'm not taking up the space, so that I allow others to speak up and also for them to find their own voice. And I think finding my own voice is also about knowing when to stop saying yes to what I don't like and knowing when to stop saying no to what I do like.
What you do like.
Yes.
Those are very good, powerful women thoughts. I really like the part about being, knowing when to be quiet and listen and receive some help instead of, you know,
absolutely
moving through. So
I think as leaders, we tend to speak too much.
But you can learn if you're quiet.
Absolutely.
Sometimes
to listen.
That silence. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And so you mentioned barriers too. So what are the barriers perhaps that you encountered along your life's journey and how did those impact you? Because I can only imagine coming here, not speaking English initially. A lot of things probably along the way, and as you're younger and you grow, what are some of those barriers that you encountered?
Yeah, so Jennifer, for this question, I have many barriers that I have encountered along the way. But for this question, I'm going to focus on one, the most recent encounter, and it has to do with family life. I would not call it barrier, but I would probably call that a detour to anyone's career. So I know that in order for me to advance my career in higher education, I had to have earned a doctoral degree. So I was on track and on time with my program. I completed all the coursework and I was on my way to writing my dissertation. Then life happened. Mm-hmm. My father was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer.
Oh.
Yeah, so I stopped everything and refocus my time and my attention to being the caregiver for both my dad and also my mom, who was devastated. And my dad passed away about 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. So now mom is living on her own, and at 79, her health has weakened. So I'm her caregiver. So that is not a barrier, but a detour.
A challenge and
but
a detour. Absolutely.
Yep, in my career. Yes.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So let's look at life and all that's happening. You know, right now we're in the middle of a pandemic. Obviously, you know that because you're on a committee.
Mm-hmm.
Racial disparities, strife, and just, you know, the state of America today and everything. So many things can be difficult to maneuver day to day. How do you balance that life when you just mentioned your mom and the detour and your dad with your family life, but also still striving to reach those heights that you desire in your professional life amidst all, because you've made great strides. So how do you balance that?
Balance is really fluid and is evolving with the stage of life that, you know, I am in. So this question reminds me of something that my mother always says to me when I come to her and I say, gosh, I'm so exhausted. I wish that I have more than 24 hours in a day to do everything that I
yes,
want to
indeed.
Do.
We all wish that, right?
Absolutely. She, in her calm and collected voice, she would tell me, you can always make more money, but you cannot make more time. So be wise with the way that you spend your time. And she's so right, because time is such an invaluable resource, and the way that I choose to invest my time mm-hmm. can help me to maintain my balance in life. Right?
Absolutely.
So I think about the balance for me now is to invest time in providing care for my mother, who is 79 years old, and she's living by herself. So balance for me is at the end of the day, when I close my eyes, I feel happy, satisfied, and peaceful with the way that I allocate my times within the given day and not feeling guilty.
Yeah, that's good. And that's something that's one of those things you can lend to other people to teach them as well and to help along the way as that powerful woman to, you know, in help others understand some of those things like what balance is and to, again,
absolutely
not feel guilty and not feel
absolutely.
Bad about not being able to do it all.
Because yes.
I think sometimes there's that pressure mm-hmm. to try to do it all.
Yes.
So one of my favorite questions to ask, it's actually twofold. What do you do for fun and what makes you laugh? Because I think, and I always ask this, and I just think laughter is good for the soul and it surely is much needed in this day and age. So what do you do for fun to start?
What do I do for fun? Well, we have been staying at home and quarantining. So I have turned to yoga and meditation
very
as
nice.
A form of body, mind, and wellness. And, you know, in the midst of chaos, I have found that meditation and yoga helped me to relax and also to think positively, to have a positive mindset, and to deal with all the emotions and the chaos that's going on around me. Another thing that I have been experimenting with is the oil scents,
right? Like essential oils?
The essential oil, And I have been using them around the home, and it's pretty calming and relaxing for me. So for the summer, I love the citrus scent.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so that's what I have been doing.
And that actually kind of goes with the yoga. So you have the essential oils while you're meditating. And
yes, right.
It's a great combination. So what makes you laugh?
People who take themselves too seriously, myself included.
So you can laugh at yourself. Absolutely. Sometimes, which we all need to do, I think.
And I do. I do. And I laugh the most when we do family games together. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this weekend, my niece and my nephew came to visit. And we played, I don't know if you know, the taboo game.
Oh, one of my favorite
together.
Games. Absolutely.
And,
it's hilarious.
You know, for that game, there are taboo words that you cannot use when you describe the word. And I totally think that is a trap for Connie. Because I always fell into that trap and I always use the taboo words. So they all laugh at me. And you can also make gestures, right, to describe. So
which can be funny in and of itself.
And I can be very goofy. So, you know, I laugh at myself. They laugh at me. So I think, you know, family games is when I enjoy and laugh the most.
Absolutely. Yeah. I agree. I do. I have some of that same fun with my family. So. Do you have a favorite saying or perhaps a quote that we can end on?
Yes. So I always remember Mahatma Gandhi's quote, "Be the change that you wish to see in the world." And pick one thing. It can be small, but doable. So what I have tried to do and very successfully is stop using plastic water bottles, because my daughter always yelled at me for using plastic bottles. So we stopped that at home. And at home, we have filtered water. So I have a big container that I would, you know, just fill with water and use throughout the day. So it is a small thing. It is a small change, but it can make a big difference, right, in the long run.
Absolutely.
So start with something small. Yes.
You can be that change.
And you
absolutely.
Can be, yes.
Mm-hmm. Honey, what a pleasure talking with you today and chatting and catching up. I want to thank you so much for joining us for our Powerful Woman series here. Let's talk. And thanks to all of you that are listening today and joining us for another edition of Powerful Women, Let's Talk. I'm Jennifer Moss.
Thank you for having me.
Produced by women about women, these powerful podcasts focus on powerful women and how their strength transforms who we are and how we live. Want to hear more Powerful Women Let's Talk? Get additional interviews at WGVU.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Please rate and subscribe. Powerful Women Let's Talk is produced by WGVU at the Meyer Public Broadcast Center at Grand Valley State University. The views and opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of WGVU, its underwriters, or Grand Valley State University.